Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past Sunday, in this series that we're calling Beyond the Shallows, where we're looking at the life of Jesus through the lens of Simon Peter, we looked at this event that we kind of call the Transfiguration, and we kind of connected the dots, not in a brand new way. Theologians have done this for centuries, back to Moses and the Exodus. When Moses goes up on the mountain in Exodus chapter 20 through Exodus chapters 34, Moses goes up there twice. He receives the law. The people are told to listen. You've got Moses on a mountain. Then when you transition to the New Testament and you look at this event, Jesus and the Transfiguration, you've got Jesus on the mountain with Moses, who represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and we are told to listen to him. So there's some connectivity between these events. So in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses is up on the mountain for the second giving of the law, he prays and asks God to show Moses God's glory. Now, if you remember that event, you know that God kind of hides Moses in the cleft of the rock in Exodus chapter 34. When God passes by, he says, I will make my goodness pass by before you. So Moses asked for glory. God responds by, I will make my goodness pass before you. And then God makes this statement in Exodus 34. Really, it's one of the initial public statements about himself, about his nature. He says, I will show mercy to those whom I will show mercy. And so there's this connectivity between the glory of God and the mercy of God. And I think the same two things come together in the Transfiguration. What you see is Jesus kind of unzipping his humanity in front of Simon, Peter, John, and James to show that glory side, that authority side. And at the same time, what we see in Jesus is this extreme kindness and goodness and mercy, that was really the fragrant aroma of his life. That verse in 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So the idea is that just like Jesus was the aroma of God to us, he's the icon, he's the representation of God to us. We are the representation of God then to our culture. There should be an aroma, if you can say it that way, about our lives. Now, you think about those two things. You think about authority and glory versus mercy and humility. So all of us are going to lean one of two ways. Most of us are going to lean either more authority or more mercy, but we've got to be both. If you're authority without mercy, you're really just a bully with a Bible, right? If you're mercy without authority, you're kind of like a theological spaghetti noodle, right? And trying to help everyone, you can't really help anyone. And increasingly in our culture, it becomes more and more difficult, it feels like, to remain committed to both of those ideas. I was talking with one of our public school teachers, he kind of got to the end of his school year this year, and he was being asked to compromise biblical authority, the principles to which he holds to, in the name of being merciful. And I think, again, in culture, it's just going to become increasingly difficult because there's not a chapter and verse for every situation that we encounter. You can't turn to, the book of Obadiah and it says, hey, do this in this scenario. It's why we say in this series, we really have to follow Jesus one step at a time. There's not a one size fits all answer in every situation. And so Simon Peter's response to the Transfiguration is, he says, Lord, let's build a temple for you, for Moses, for Elijah up on the mountain. Our tendency is to want to stay up on the mountain. But when the experience is over, obviously Jesus takes them off of the mountain and runs them right back into their own culture. And so the things that we read in the New Testament really call us to engage, verses like Philippians 2:14, where Paul says, do everything without arguing and complaining. And so, that's not just Paul writing and saying, hey, here's a good idea for you. If you don't have anything else to do, try not to argue and complain. We are called as believers to live life without an attitude of complaining and being argumentative. So it remains reasonable that if you've been a Christian for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, you should complain less and you should be less argumentative than you were 5, 10, or 15 years ago. And I think the real application for me in the Transfiguration is that I am able to step into this huge void in our culture right now. You are able to step into this huge void in our culture right now because people are so polarized, and that the attitude, the prevailing attitude among people on social media and the media is you either 100% agree with me or you are a hater, right? You either say everything I say or we cannot have a relationship. And the beautiful thing about Christianity is right now it leaves us in this opportunity, in this huge space to say we live based on the authority, on the truth, on the glory of God revealed to us in His Word. And at the same time, we are 100% merciful and we care about others. So we have this opportunity to say, hey, listen, we're going to disagree at times, but I don't have to be disagreeable. I can say this is where I stand, and I can be merciful. I can care. I can love. I need to be humble, gentle, and lowly. Those are the terms, the character terms that Jesus used to describe himself. As a matter of fact, the only character terms that Jesus used to describe himself. So when you see people feel polarized, like younger people and older people, they kind of feel polarized right now. It's a great space to step into and have conversations about authority and mercy, majority culture and minority culture. Right now, it's a great space to step into to bring authority and truth and an attitude of care and love. What does that probably mean? It probably means you'll be criticized a little bit by both sides. But you know what? I think I look at the life of Jesus and I see that he was too. And so that's okay. Because Jesus modeled this kind of life and because he stepped into our place, you see in the Transfiguration, this reality, you see in this reality that Jesus could allow Peter, James, and John to see him, to see his glory, and to live because he was sacrificing, he was substituting himself for us. So I'm going to pray for us that God will make us those kinds of people, and then I'm going to give you the space to pray. Father, as we go about our day today, I pray that we will be people who, God, have been with you on the mountain. But God, don't just desire to stay up there, to huddle away, but rather, God, that we would live life according to your authority, according to your glory, and that, God, we would be incredibly merciful and incredibly kind and humble all at the same time. God, I pray that you will use us to bring unity, God, where there is division. Empower us today by your Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray.